The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I invited Andrew back on again for this Thursday episode. It was inauguration night for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Now, what would you say was a very inspirational song? 96 Crayons by Taylor Hollingsworth. Here you go.
Pictures in your rainbow mind until you're out of wax. You create a world and you crave to share it with your girl, and she will try. There's gotta be something out there more than this. There's gotta be something out there more than this. 'Cause I'm feeling sick, and I can feel that prick. I can watch the sunset every night. But will we ever know? Is it all just black? Will we ever share it with the former generations of our pack? A forgotten stitch, a religious itch. Where do we all go? Does rest of mine continue working with the soul once the body's in the ditch. It's hard to be leaving something. It's hard to be leaving something. It's hard to be leaving something when you're feeling like it's all a lie. It's hard to be leaving something. It's hard to be leaving something. It's hard to be leaving something when you're feeling like it's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's all a lie.
I got my best bud here with me. I got Andrew Watkins.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
So, man, tell me a little bit about today, man. You're kind of fresh out of surgery. You were in, like, really? Okay. Great. That's good news indeed.
Good news.
So the way I consider, like, personal injury and, like, you had to lay out of work is, like, it's a state of free fall.
Yeah.
To where, I mean, you and I have, like, worked since we were old enough to drive.
Pretty much.
And
started out at the same spot, really.
Yeah. And I mean, neither one of us really knows what it's like to not have a job. And sometimes we were working 2 to 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to be, even though you're hurt, like, you're on the upscale, you're recovering. But, like, when I was recovering from my ACL, I was out for, like, a couple of weeks up to a month. And I didn't feel like me till I got back to work.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly how you feel. And then I thought today, too, because I feel great, you know, compared to where I was. But I was talking to Jessica today, and I told her, I said, you know, doctor asked me, you know, when I was planning on going back to work, like, it was up to me. And I was like, well,
yeah,
you know, and I told him that I, you know, my short-term disability through work has already given me a date that I'm approved through. And he's like, well, you know, if you feel like you want to go on a fishing trip or something, just let me know. And we'll add a little bit to that, but I don't really want to have to go through all the trouble of doing all that extending, and I'm just going to go back to work. But I still got a month before I got to go back. So me and Jessica was both like, wow, that's good. Because I'm going to be recovering. Like, I'm not going to be out riding a dirt bike or wrestling a grizzly bear. I'm gonna be walking. This is the only exercise I'm gonna do because that's what he told me to do.
Yeah,
and I can only pick up 15 pounds. And he told me not to pick up 15 pounds until I go back to work.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we have I'll never be able to jump on a trampoline again. Not supposed to.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a particular. I believe like that athletes and. I think it depends on who you are is what kind of surgery you get for some surgeries. Mm-hmm. It's like with mine is they tied my hamstring.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things on my list of things to never do again in my life.
Well, that sucks.
Jumping on a trampoline.
I've never been to a trampoline park, but they look fun.
Yeah, I've never been either. You know, I always thought about it too, like
There's one in Columbus.
Yeah, there's there's one in Tuscaloosa too. But
yeah.
When I was leading the youth group, I was like, I'm going to take them to a trampoline park. Yeah, we took them paintballing, and that was dope.
Yeah, that was fun. I want to do. I wish I.
That was probably one of the. That was probably one of the coolest things I'd ever led.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. I wish that talking about paintball. I wish there was an airsoft field somewhere, and there actually is some in Alabama, but that would be another cool thing to do too. Like airsoft.
Yeah.
Or paintball, both.
Man, you know, with I listen to all these different podcasts, and like a lot of the different guests that have been on the podcast I listen to lately have been like the survival type. Oh. And they're also the type who have like opened up like these different camps to educate people on how to survive and it goes like even how to properly use a firearm. Like it's just like life skills.
Dude, this is so crazy. because all day today, before my appointment, I watch videos on people surviving. I just want to share this little tidbit. There was a guy.
Sure, you won't, dude. I love this stuff.
There was a guy who survived 76 days stranded on the ocean in a raft, in a life raft.
70. What did he drink?
No, dude, you're not taking this in. Think about this.
No, I'm taking it
76
in.
76 days. Now, he had some supplies. Let me tell you what it is. All right, this dude is pretty much.
Explain the raft, like life
I'm
raft.
I'm gonna get there. He starts off, okay, the story starts off.
It's like a Bear Grylls thing where he gets thrown into like a scenario.
Yeah. No, this is real life. This really happened.
So it's like that movie with the guy who got his arm lodged in the rock?
And he cut off with a knife, yes.
Is this that kind of thing, yes. What was that called, like 48 hours? What was that called? Some kind of hour. It's how James Franco was in it. It's how many hours he was lodged in that.
Oh, yeah. Was it 13? No, it wasn't 13 hours.
It was more than
that's
that.
That's a different movie.
Anyway, I digress.
The dude, he's at a point in his life where he's going to start over because he just got a divorce, okay? He built his own sailboat, and he wants to sail to the Caribbean. I can't remember exactly where he's from, but he wanted to sail to the Caribbean on his sailboat. He gets to going, and I think he gets like a week out. And he done told everybody, of course, you know, that, hey, I'm going to the Caribbean. You're not going to see me for a while. You're not going to hear from me for a while. So don't worry. But I'm going to the Caribbean. And he goes so far, and then the storm starts. And it's kind of rough, but he said he's seen worse. The storm gets worse while he's sleeping. And the boat crashes into something. Don't know what it is. Don't know how, but build up water started sinking.
What kind of boat?
It's a sailboat.
Okay.
A sailboat. And it starts sinking quick. So he immediately gets out, gets the life raft busted open, gets in the life raft. But then he's like, wait a minute.
Grabs everything he can.
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute. No, he's already back in the life. He's in the life raft. The boat's still sinking. And he's like, wait a minute. I need what's in there. So he dives back in there, and it almost kills him because he gets the bag, and then the door shuts, but he gets out. But so he had eight pints of water, canned water, survival water.
Yeah.
He had that. And he had food for about a week. But where he was, it was going to take 2 weeks to get to where all the shipping boats go through.
So, geographically, are we talking like Pacific, Atlantic?
Atlantic. Okay. But he has to, for him to get to float that way to get to where all them boats are, it's going to take him 2 weeks. So he runs out of food, naturally, within the 2 weeks. But he has a spear gun. And he starts seeing fish, so he tries to fish, and he ends up breaking the spear gun and having to, just stab to catch fish. It takes him, 3 days to catch one.
Did he break the spear gun before he had caught one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it out of frustration?
No, it was just he was using it so much that it broke. It just was.
It's kind of like, have you seen those 3D printed guns?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can do anything with 3D printer.
But they're not effective. I've seen, they call
not
it...
Not too effective, but I can get a lead pipe and shoot a 12-gauge shotgun at you.
Yeah, I mean, yes, nothing. You know, we've, and we still got our reload up there, but it's for shotgun shells. But, I don't think a lot of people, know. You know, with people freaking out about buying firearms, and let's just say, you know how to render a firearm useless?
Huh.
No bullets.
Yeah, true.
So if there's no bullets, could you make your own 9mm round if you needed to? Do you know how to make a round?
I have a reloading kit, yeah.
Okay, so you know what goes into it?
Mm-hmm. I might not have...
Could you do it, primitively if you had to?
if I got a supply... I had to get a couple of supplies for certain calibers, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing about
it. I don't know a lot about it, but I know...
And that's what I was thinking about, and I was having this conversation the other day, and I want to get back to where you were going, but... I don't remember... It may have been me and Coop. And he's a gun guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm more of a bow guy. And he said, why is that? You know, especially you shoot primitive. You got the long bow that you made and all that, right? And I said, yeah, I don't use crossbows or any of that compound. Why that way? And I said, well, think about this. If it was let's just say, worst possible odds is no power, no water, like everything's out. And we had to survive. I only got so many bullets, but I can make however many arrows I need to. Mm-hmm. I can make a string. I can make a new bow.
Yeah.
Like the primitiveness of it is my salvation. And it almost brings it to firearm being more barbaric at this point.
Yeah, what I was about to say is probably the best thing to do in that was in any kind of apocalyptic situation or whatever is use the bow for food, hunting food, and use the guns for defense.
Protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't use them at all unless you have to.
Absolutely have to.
Have to, yeah. That's the reason I like a .22 though, man.
Very practical.
You can get a .22 and I can have a book bag and some cargo pants on or something and have 8,000 rounds on me at any point in time and be ready to go. And I mean, I might not knock you down with one, but it's about being accurate. I don't care who you are, if you get in the forehead with a .22.
That's right.
You're going down.
Yeah, it's hard to do anything at that point.
For sure. Yes, yes.
But yeah, I have been like on this survival kick for like 2 or 3 months in my mind. Is like,
you need to follow this one channel on YouTube, then I'll show you later.
Yeah.
Because it does.
Well, go ahead and give them a name drop.
They do all kind of.
Go ahead and share who they are. Let our audience know. But while you're finding that is, where's the fire extinguisher in your home?
In the kitchen.
You know exactly?
Mm-hmm. On the sink.
Where's the first aid?
First aid is above the refrigerator.
Perfect. Same here, man. Is like, that's one thing, like a lot of people really, I don't know if they have or if they're even mindful about it, is, where you're most likely to die is in your own home.
Yeah.
And so just knowing those little things and like just being a whole lot more mindful about survival and just taking care.
Mm-hmm.
You got it pulled up?
Yeah, Wonder is the name of the channel on YouTube. They have every one of their videos is nothing but people in life-threatening situations trying to survive. I bet I watched, and some of them are lengthy. Well, most all of them are at least 40 minutes long. So, I mean, it's a lot to invest into. But, I mean, if you're into that kind of stuff and you're interested in a story like this, man, there's some crazy stories on there, people making it through some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it gives them new life, new meaning when they get done, and they all change for the good, and it's...
Well, think about that, and then we'll get back to the guy on the raft, but is... Think about everything worthwhile in your life. It was the thing that you had to work for, correct?
Yes.
You don't appreciate things that just kind of fell into place. And so when I think about, and we're here in rural Alabama for the most part, and so it came more natural than if we maybe grew up in like Birmingham or in a big city, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Birmingham not even being that big of a city. It's just the biggest...
Big to us.
Biggest city close to here. But when I learned how to make a bow, there was a part of me that there was this sense of accomplishment that no one could take from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was knowledge, because I'm a very hands-on learner. And then... Mm-hmm. To make a tool that would be able to grant me survival and also defense.
Make Jim Smith feel smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just that.
Yeah.
And even like just small things is like, you know, these little accomplishments in our lives, if you want to say like maybe it was graduating or getting that job that you wanted, whatever that sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Some people like are addicted to that.
Yeah, definitely. I think social media is the greatest exception or the greatest example of that dopamine effect is we create a post and every time someone likes or comments, it's like we get this adrenaline rush to where we can't really keep our phone out of our hands.
Mm.
And social media knows that. And so they gear that toward us to where I turn my notifications off.
Yeah.
But I remember a time I was like, man, post a picture and you get who liked it? Who commented? Who said? Man, it's so arbitrary. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, too, this, the hobbies is, you know, I think it's all that fuels a lot of it, because making a bow in a way is a hobby.
Absolutely.
And you look at how
it's
many,
a trade.
Exactly. Look at how many hobbies and trades there is in the world. A lot of the trades, you know, are necessities, but the hobbies, not so much. I mean, there's an endless amount of things that you could get, someone could find interest in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could look for years on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All the different things that you could possibly do.
Well, that's right. I mean, just think about this. Is like, you know, it's funny that you sent me a Shaky Graves video.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'm getting ready to go buy a, I got that half drum set right there. But have you seen, like, it's the same one that Shaky Graves used, like the suitcase
mm-hmm.
kick?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go pick one of them up from Muscle Shoals probably this coming weekend.
All right.
And like to start to, and when, you know, when you sent me that video, I was like, how ironic. Cause I was like, that's actually like what I was about to start working on.
Yeah. That's pretty cool though. I had never heard them. I actually watched a reaction video of a guitar teacher.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Watching, he's done like Marcus King Band, Tyler uh-huh. Childers, Culture Wall, all them. He's done all them. It's funny to watch him react to their playing or their voice or uh-huh. whatever certain thing it is. He's Michael Stamenopoulos or something like that. It's something weird. He's,
yeah.
But he's good too at guitar, because he'll, what I like watching him for is like, if I want to learn a particular song, he'll teach you while he's watching he'll tell you if it's the one, the three, the five,
mm-hmm.
the four, the six, wherever.
Yeah, because he's very music theory
yes.
driven, and he's like very,
I'm not.
He's like, I would say the guy, I've seen his videos, the guy watching is, mastery.
Oh, yeah.
He has a master at music.
Yeah,
no doubt. Like,
no, there's no way he doesn't.
Not just educational level,
that's
his
career.
Knowledge. Yeah.
It's got to be his career.
Yeah, for sure. And
if it's not, works at Subway.
Let's take it there for a second. Is, I don't really, which I've been on a different drive for like a year and a half, and I'm going to come off of it soon, but I haven't really like learned other people's music in a long time.
Yeah.
And I found it to be a bit destructive to my own practice
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I'll get home every day or try to at least pick up the guitar for at least 30 minutes and just mm-hmm. to keep my calluses and to
yeah.
keep everything and like whatever I'm working on.
Muscle memory.
You're right. Yeah. To keep everything fresh. But I've only been playing my own material or trying to write for a year and a half solid, and it kind of feels like the well is dry.
Mm-hmm.
And I love playing like Say Anything or covering
yeah.
like learning blues and like mm-hmm. going to different tunings. And I believe I would say with my guitar ability is like maybe somewhere in the middle, like intermediate
mm.
skill level.
That's what I was about to say is like, I remember when you first told me that you wasn't covering other people's songs and you was trying to, and I envied you because I was like, man, I wish I could, you know, not play the same crap over and over every time. And you know, there's a lot of intermediate players that get stuck in that loop
mm-hmm.
to where they're playing the same stuff over and over every day. They ain't really progressing any, and it's not necessarily that they have lost or can't get any better. They've just lost some sort of inspiration to get to another level, to reach another goal to get to.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to start doing. Like, I've got a list of five songs that I want to have perfect by this end of this year.
That like, was my thing. And
I
like
started small to try to keep myself
yeah.
from failing horribly, but.
And I think it was Johnny Havard that really taught me that. Is like, every time I go down to Mobile now, I stay with Johnny. And, I mean, Johnny just, he's got a great taste in music, and he covers some great songs.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I went down there, he had like, I thought it was like a laser pointer. It's like red glitter right in the middle of your Columbia shirt, like right here between your, right there by the logo. I don't know. Kind of just like, is there a laser pointer here?
But, I'm on a Assassin's Hit list.
Oh my gosh. Wow, they're good.
Yes. I don't know how big he is, but I think he's really small.
But Johnny had learned how to play Nick Chutter's song, Rather Low.
Uh-huh.
And That was one of the first things he showed me. Like, I literally showed up in Mobile, grabbed my bags, grabbed my guitar, podcast equipment, got in the apartment, sat down, and he just picked up the guitar and started playing that song. And, like, I love that song. You know, mm-hmm. I've had Nick Shutters on the show, and mm-hmm. I've been really addicted to his music. I find him to be very unique. And lo and behold, Johnny's just got this great cover.
Mm-hmm.
And that really inspired me. And it,
that's what I was about
to say. It brought me out of that slump. And on the drive home from here to Mobile, as you know, it's 4 hours. Yeah. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, I've tried so hard to just be an original artist that I put myself in a box of my own. And granted, like, everything about music or art, I believe, is like, I don't believe you can be completely original, although you can be original.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean by that is you're going to bring in like SRV, Jimi Hendrix, yeah. You're going to mm-hmm. bring in all these different styles and genres until you find yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got... You
but
got,
then when you find yourself, you're not done, because then you'll plateau.
Yeah.
And that's where I've been, is like just at a, to a point to where I don't really even care to pick up the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got all the greats that there are, you know, and it's like every one of them's unique in their own way, but they've all inspired so many people. When you're that original, you're a guitar god. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're above everything.
Well, I mean, else. Just think about who they were.
And even them, even them had gods before them.
That's right.
And then God, and you know, it goes all the way back, you know, and I realized that if I am going to do my own music or write my own songs, that I'm going to have inspiration from somebody else. And I catch myself all the time playing covers, but playing them different. And then going off of just...
That's a step in the right direction.
Half a riff of what one song is.
Sure.
And then just building off of that, and then just seeing where it goes from there. And that... Recently, this past week, there's been 4 or 5 songs that I've learned and then kind of broke off into something else and could considerably be something one day. I don't know. I wrote it down.
Well, you know, like, just with, like, writing your own stuff is, like, I believe this is, nothing has to be concrete. And, I mean, like, we were dicking around the other day, is, like, I'm going to sing a song about possession. And just immediately started just doing something like this. That's not, there's nothing original about that. That is E minor,
mm-hmm.
bouncing off an F sharp to hop into G, and then like walking it back down. And so I think we put too much pressure on ourselves to think that we're going to write Alive with the Glory of Love by Say Anything, yeah. and use all these complex chords, and mm-hmm. that the world is just going to be blown away. The idea of songwriting, I don't care if you write a song just using G and C, you put work in.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it's just like muscle memory. It's like a muscle. Your songwriting, man, most of everything I wrote right now is just poetry because it has no music. Mm. Because I write every day. I might not write music every day, but I write words every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to. Like, it's detrimental to me to express myself daily in some format.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I don't know what that is. That kind of bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
That I have to get something out every day, but maybe it's something that I give myself.
It's better out than in. Shrek said that.
It's just like a fart, right?
It's better out than in.
But back to the guy on the raft.
Yeah. So he had got the stuff out of the boat, watched the boat sink. He's in the lifeboat, right?
Yeah.
And he makes it to the channel where all the boats are going through that have shipping containers and all that. And he sees his first one, lights flare up, doesn't see him, keeps going. Sees the second one, lights his flare up. Ends up seeing like 4 boats, uses all his flares. None of them see him. at all. So he's
typical movie by
that,
now.
Yeah, that hit him hard, you know. Well, then.
Well, think about that. Is
and this guy was so resilient, and he even said that he surprised himself at how resilient he was to live. And you know, I got to thinking about it. It's like, man, like I know I'm not a smart guy at all, but I still I know a little bit about a good many things, especially when it comes to like being on the water, fishing, and direction, and how to read where you're at. Maybe not so much on the ocean, but you know what I'm saying.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Are you good with like stars?
No, I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Because they move. So how can you use them all the time?
Like,
you ever see them time-lapse videos with the Earth?
Yeah.
And then you see the stars moving?
That's right.
Like, how is that a good form
of direction? They say, like, the North Star is like, dude, that thing's moving with the rest of them.
It don't make no sense. And I guess they figured out where they move in certain parts of the year.
I'm telling you, it's like, you remember the night of, like, the Bethlehem star? It was like, was it like December? No, it might have been November. I don't remember.
But, yeah.
You know, Jupiter and Saturn was like perfectly aligned, and like what I concluded, because I couldn't find it because it was so obvious according to all these pictures I saw, but maybe it wouldn't have been that obvious to me, is I think it was still below the tree line, because I walked out at about 6:30, you know, the sun had been down for like an hour, and was looking for it, and I just looked over it, I just looked over at her and I was, I'm going to be honest with you, is I wouldn't know it if I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know stars. Do you know stars? And she's like, I can show you the Milky Way. You can point out a constellation? Said, yeah. I was like, that's pretty dope. And yeah. I was like, we're in the country and I've seen the stars all my life and they never made any kind of sense to me.
Big Dipper and Little Dipper.
I can't do that.
You must have, I don't know what direction to look. I just always look to find it. It's pretty easy to spot once you realize, once you see what it is, you can
that's probably the problem.
Well, you gotta think too, like back in, you know, biblical times before Bibles wrote, they made characters out of these stars and gave them names and knew where they was. And
oh, a whole mythology.
They was bored. It was so bored.
Well, you had to come up with some kind of way.
Or curious. Bored or curious?
I would say both. You have to come up with some kind of way to
feed the mind.
That's right. And to make life make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we all try to do that.
Hey, look at beyond where we are.
Man, I've been listening to a lot of Jordan Peterson lately.
Yeah.
You know him?
He's smart. Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Smart guy. I like that guy.
He's a little monotone. I like it. But he don't get excited much, but I do for him because of what he says.
But he did, his podcast is called the Jordan B. Peterson podcast. But I was listening to his lectures. It's two part. He was talking about Carl Jung, who learned from Nietzsche and Freud. And you know, Nietzsche, he had to flee, away from the Nazis, so he kind of had a crazy thing. And Nietzsche had a weird take on the Bible and traditional Christianity. So, like, his work is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
They would say that there would be a lot of contradictions within the scripture, which is something I don't agree with, and so like that's why I've been listening to them to get a different point of view, to try to figure out what they're talking about. But anyway, that ain't here or there. Is with Carl Jung, he used the film Lion King to break down like a whole lot of psychology in a whole lot of worldview, and so like not to get off on the whole breakdown of Lion King, but on Pride Rock. You remember when, was it Mufasa, Simba? And the sun was setting, and Simba was asking Mufasa about the kingdom. He's like, everything the light touches.
Yeah.
What about beyond? And so, like, there's this thing about the sun and light that represents everything that is known. And then there's this thing about the stars and darkness and the moon. that represents things unknown. And we as people, we will project the unknown into the unknown, and we will give it meaning to try to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think about, like, astrology is, like, I don't really get into, like, the symbols and, like, Scorpio, Aquarius, and all that. And I'm not hating on you if you do, but, like, I think that is just people, like, crying out to the unknown to try to understand what is unknown.
Yeah, searching for something.
Yeah, they're looking for something.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read that one time just to see what mine was. I don't even remember. Capricorn, maybe? I don't know. I can't
remember. I'm a Scorpio.
I don't know what I can't remember.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
But back to the guy on the raft.
So he gets so he's floating along, boat's been by, they're gone, they ain't seen him. And he, you know, he's worried, you know, it storms again or something, and
could you just imagine, like, being in a storm in the middle of the ocean? Without the cover?
Scariest thing. No, he had cover.
He made a cover?
The raft had a built-in dome
over
it. So, and he was halfway covered. He had a little opening, like a little triangle opening. But on a calm night, he was sleeping, and the raft just moves. And so he kind of gets up, and he's, and it moves again.
Is that a shark? Yes, it was a huge shark.
Oh, it was? Yes, bumping at it. So he takes the spear, and he's stabbing the shark, trying to get it to go away, and he gets it in the gill, and it finally swims off and leaves him alone. So many crazy things happened to him, because then he caught another fish, right? And he was having to stab him, and when he stabbed it, it broke the tip, the gig on the it broke it off, right, in the fish. The fish swam back into the raft and cut the bottom ring.
Oh, no.
So it's like
Murphy's Law on this guy.
It's like spewing air out, you know. And he's grabbing it, and he's trying to, like, tie it up, because the hole is only, like, 2 inches long. Mm-hmm. So he was, like, trying to tie it up, and he had a way to air it back up. And it was still just leaking air everywhere. And he finally got that fixed. And he had with these things, I can't remember what they're called, but it's like a big blow-up pyramid-looking thing. And what that does is he put salt water in it, and the sun would turn that water, salt water, into drinkable water. But it took 4 hours to get like a teaspoon.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a lot. But he had three of them, and he couldn't get any of them to work. So he had to cut one of them open and destroy it to find out how it works. And he finally got it working, but then he only had two. So he was getting 2 teaspoons every 4 hours. You know?
Starving.
Yes. So but he had fish. He was eating the fish. And
he lost his gig. He had another gig.
No. I'm talking about before that. Like the fish he caught was big. It was big. Like, okay. Dolphin, mahi mahi looking fish.
Okay.
And so he had that, but he eventually ran out of that too, because he realized that the way he was floating, that's another thing. I don't know how in the world he was keeping up where he was.
Well, the guy had to be like.
It showed in the skit burst. He had like a map and was like making marks and stuff. But anyway, he realized that, you know, he had no control on where the boat went.
Right. He didn't have a sail.
Current just teared. And he realized that if he floated so far one way, he was going to get caught in the current and brought right back out to sea. So he was worried about that. And he started trying to drop stuff in or hang stuff to like catch. Or push against the current, or you know, something. I don't know.
That dude's smart.
Anyway, by this time, he's out of food. He's out of water. It's been, 75 days, and he's given up. Oh, and I'm 3 weeks in the water. I'm probably close to breaking down.
I probably drown myself.
And when I say break down, I'm talking like into tears. You know, this guy didn't cry till like day 65 is when he broke down and started crying. It was like, I ain't gonna make it. I'm like, wow, the resiliency to make it 60 something days and just then to realize you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, my Lord, that guy has got some heart. He has got some drive in him that I do not
I'd
have.
I'd say I'd have just put my head underwater.
I would let the shark eat me. I mean, it just blew my mind. That's the reason the story was so interesting to me and why I started watching others. Because, you know, he made it 76 days. He ended up, what he ended up doing was he floated straight up to an island, to a Caribbean island. Like, he saw it was 10 miles away, but he could see it. And some fishermen actually found him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they come out there with the boat, and he said it was funny because they was both black. They're in the Caribbean. But some black guy comes up to him, and he's like, "What are you doing out here, man? Get in the boat." Yeah. He takes him back. Dude weighed 100 pounds when they found him. 100 pounds. He was 6 foot tall.
Jeez. Yeah. Nothing but bones.
Yes. Yes. Skeleton, son. But it was funny to me after I watched that because, you know, all the other ones that I talked about. And to me, that one, like, was the topper. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the number one. So, all the other ones, I was like, 3 weeks? You need to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And then there was some guys that was lost for, like, 4 or 5 days. And I'm like, you need to talk to this guy.
Could you even imagine that, though? What's the longest you've ever been lost?
In the woods, maybe a day.
We got lost.
No. I take that.
Yeah, think about coon hunting.
That's what I was about to say. Day and a half, maybe.
Let's say
all together.
We got lost. It was me and we actually got separated. There were four, and then it was a 3-on-1 for a long time, but I was one of the three.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we would have been lost as long if we weren't looking for the one.
Oh, I see.
And, like, that was my thing before we separated was we should listen for a road.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a car, we just walk that direction.
Yeah.
If we can get to a road, then we might can figure out where we are. We can walk that road till it goes to another road, and then we might know where we are, right?
Yeah.
And that was my thing with always being lost in the woods is, like, use your peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
Is listen.
Yeah. That's the only way we got out when we was lost coon hunting was we went in the channel bottom and put in on Cody Road. And went. We crossed the channel back and forth like 20 times. Ended up going through a swamp. And then we got into stuff that was so thick, it was like 7 foot tall, but it was like, you know, your hand and your face thick. So
yeah.
You couldn't get no sense of direction whatsoever, but we would hear a car in the distance, and we would get a reading with our compass on that, and we would go till we hear another one. And we ended up coming out in Belk from Cody Road. That's how far we walked.
We stopped a guy in the
it was like, okay, coon hunt, so it's in the middle of the night.
Guys, will give y'all like some kind of an idea, like Cody Road to Belk would, depending on what side, it could span anywhere from 10 to 4 miles.
It's on the Kennedy side.
Yeah.
So it's a long way.
Yeah.
But we stopped a guy in the middle of the night. It's 1:30, 2 o'clock. I'll never forget it too, because one of the guys that was with us, that had the truck, left. When we was hunting, he's like, "I'm not going any further. I'm going back to the truck, going home."
Love that. Right? Guy.
So he didn't say he was going home. He said, "I'm going back to the truck."
What a great guy.
So it was like, well, when you get back to the truck, honk the horn, you know, so we'll know you're there. And we never heard it, so. Well, we get to the road and stop the guy, and we use his phone to call him, and he doesn't answer. Ended up, he's at home in bed already asleep.
Mm-hmm.
We had to call one of the guy's girlfriends. There's five of us, okay? She comes to pick us up in a Mitsubishi Eclipse two-door,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
every one of us fit in there. And we ruined that car because we was filthy.
Y'all went straight to school that day. I remember that day.
Yeah, it was filthy in her car, too. We was late. I didn't get there like third period.
Yeah.
I had to go home and take a bath. But to see them other stories of them people that stay, there was a Mexican guy and another guy went on a fishing trip.
I mean, but think about that. You know, that was a day and a half. Minuscule to 72 out in the open sea.
76. You're right. Yes. I just can't fathom it. And, like, I was, when it said 76 days, and they told me
it's like 2 months and a half.
Yeah, and it told me it was 40 minutes long. I was like, man, it's going to go through every day. But it didn't. It skipped days. So then that made it even more like, Whoa, they just skipped 2 weeks.
Was he fairly fit before, obviously?
I guess, yeah, he wasn't out of shape or nothing. He was in good shape. I mean, he was a very active guy.
Yeah.
But the Mexican guys that went on the fishing trip were not. One of them was diabetic.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They was lost for, I want to say, 18 days. And it was all their fishing guide's fault because...
And so where were they at? Were they out on the ocean or what?
They went off the coast of Mexico somewhere to an island and was fishing around the island.
Okay.
And when they got to the island, then the big boat, they got in the little boat. And it was just three of them. There were still people left on the big boat. And everybody normally fished on the north side of the island. But the guide was like, or the west east side, and he said, we're going to fish on the west side. There's more fish over here. Well, the main guy who wanted to go didn't catch anything, but his friend caught a bunch, so they was happy with that or whatever. But when they started to go back, they realized that they was going the opposite way that they thought the boat was, and the fishing guy was like, hey, what are you doing? He said, the boat passed us while we was fishing, so it's down here now. And it didn't, and they went until they ran out of gas, pretty much. No. And then they was just stuck on the island, and... nobody, I don't know why they didn't come looking for him. Oh, he said that the reason they wouldn't come looking for him is because nobody ever fished that side. And I don't guess they told him where they was going or whatever. Anyway, they went on and on and trying to go climb the island and go certain ways around it because it was the safest ways around it. Diabetic guy gets, within 18 days, you know, he's delirious. He's... Blood sugar so low, he's about gone, you know. But his friend ended up dying. Had a massive heart attack and died. And they had to leave him, like, right there on the beach. And they left him and went and ended up getting found by somebody right before. The dude even said that it went from, okay, can I go 10 feet to can I take a step? Like, while they was trying to go around. Because they had made a raft out of, like, garbage. And was like using it to hold herself up and walk in the shallows around because the island was nothing but a rock. So there was no, it was jagged. There was no way they're climbing it and there's nothing really up there.
Oh, it wasn't like a legit island.
It's like a lava island, like almost. Like, there's not really a lot of flat land, not a lot of it at all.
No vegetation.
Yeah, so they made that raft to help the other guy before he died because he sprained both ankles because he's overweight. And they had put him on that raft to get him and then he ended up. He was floating on, and the guy said he heard gurgling, and he looked back, and the dude was like had his hands on the raft, but his head was underwater. So they took him out and like did CPR, but he ended up dying. He was dead.
Dang.
But he went from being that the guy who survived being diabetic and being you know pretty much out of it. He went from can I go 10 feet, 10 more feet to. Can I take another step? You know, I got to thinking about when I was in football, when I played football, and like during the summer, we'd be doing 2 days and it'd be hot. And we'd be pushing that sled around. That sled weighed easy 600-700 pounds. And I used to be like, man, we got to do it 3 more times. Can I do it? And I'm like, that would be nothing compared to being not having nothing to eat and drink for over 2 weeks and being a diabetic.
That's right.
Like, whew.
That's right.
Like, it's still a tough story, but you still ain't got nothing on the other guy.
Together. some double stops, a double dare you, call the cops. If I were standing by here, wagging wheel again.
So, man, like, last topic is The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And so, Star Wars, I'm a fantasy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big Lord of the Ring fan.
Yeah, I've been watching some videos on that, too.
And, like Harry Potter as well, Star Wars kind of lost me with 7, 8, 9, and mm-hmm. Mandalorian. Here I am, boys and girls, and Andrew is about to try to correct me. The Mandalorian, every episode is the same thing, back to back.
You always do this. I was hoping you wouldn't, but always do it. I agree. I agree. 7, 8, 9 was not the greatest. They should have left it alone. I understand, but you... They making money, and that's all they're. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to entice a new generation, and you know you gotta love it for that.
I gotta love it for that.
You ain't gotta love it. I'm just saying.
There's no content.
You might not be in the generation that
it's even made Mark for. Hamill says it's trash.
That's what, he's not in the generation it's made for. You might not be, not necessarily physically. But mentally, you might not be in the generation this is made for.
But it's not good.
You might not be part of the generation this is made for. If it's made for something, they're going to love it. And they do because it's making a lot of money. So you got to understand.
I think they're just milking a cow.
You're just getting old, okay? You're just getting old.
You're older than me.
I know it. But physically, yes. Mentally, I'm 13, okay? I'm just saying it. And to me, and it's different because with me, I have a little cousin, and he's 13 now, but he's a huge Star Wars fan, dude.
I met him, Jaden. Yeah, that was the first Mandalorian. I watched it with both of them, and he even made like comments about the episode.
He knows a lot about it. He knows a lot more than me, really, actually.
I like pretty having close. Those kind of kids
pretty
around,
close,
you know?
Pretty close. And that's the reason, like, I've always liked Star Wars, but when... He brought it to me, and I realized how much he loved it. It kind of like fired me up for it again.
That's why I like having those folks around, because it helps me understand.
Yeah, it fired me up again. And like I didn't even really have to understand where they was going with the story for me to just enjoy the fact that I'm getting to watch Star Wars. I'm getting to see the ships and the laser beams and the lightsabers.
All right. Let me pause you right there.
Pause. Hey.
Everything you just said, I agree with. Except with the idea of there being a story. It's cool to see all that mm-hmm. CGI and all those effects. And to, you know, I love space. I like thinking about space. Yeah, I like seeing all that. That's a big pull for me to watch it. But it's repetitive. There's no plot. And there's no story.
There's so many... mistakes in that. There is a story to it.
Correct me.
There is a story to it. And, well, not so much with Rey because she's not really, you know, the part of the Skywalker until she claims to be one at the end or whatever.
It must have been when I fell asleep.
I guess so, probably, maybe. But like I said, they're not made for certain people. And Disney knows how to sell movies.
Obviously.
They know how to get people to love them and to be obsessed with them.
Well, it's the same thing. You could say this. Okay, let's go here for just for a second. It's Disney. Marvel. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen all of the Marvel Universe superhero movies. You know why? Same thing over and over. Different costume, different cape, same thing.
Different powers. That makes it unique. I mean, I would.
It doesn't make it a unique experience because you know why? All right, you have your.
Well, if you got an origin story now those are different than the group movies.
I'm not talking about group. I'm even talking about origin story. I'm talking about the separation of power and there being different power. But think about this: with all the superhero movies that we got, they pale in comparison to even the cartoons that we used to watch. And they also pale in comparison to comic books, which should be definitely obvious.
Yeah.
But here's my problem. You
got enough time for all that.
With writing. Movies. Is. Who are they always fighting? Who's going to be the antagonist? The antagonist is going to have the opposite power. Every time. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Think about Iron Man. Who did he fight? First Iron Man. Another Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, another Iron Man, yeah. That's not reverse. That's the same.
That's what I'm saying. And that happens with every single one of them. Mm. Marvel is that way. DC is not that way. But even DC gave into that.
You know what I just figured out?
Crap.
Just figured out.
What?
There is always a group of people that just want to go against something great. And you're part of that group.
What do you call those, hipsters?
You do. No. You do this. If it's not your idea, you just don't like it. Okay? That's the way you are. And you know what? It's okay. I still love you. But hey, Marvel's good. Disney's good. Let me tell you how Marvel's better than DC. It's because Marvel did origin stories. You fell in love with each character. And then you're telling me you're going to have an all-star game and they're all going to be in it? Of course I want to watch it. I want to be the first. DC went straight to Justice League. Batman, Superman, Justice League. No Wonder Woman story. No Aquaman. No Flash. Well, you had the Flash show.
Warner Brothers screwed that up. If they would have done it correctly, they would have taken their time. But like, I think it was sped up. And I'm not saying I'm a DC boy. I'm just saying that I connect with the darkness and with the actual.
There's more.
DC has a whole lot more to offer than Marvel, in my opinion.
DC is a lot darker. They have darker stories.
Yeah. It's as an adult, I connect there.
I'm hoping that when we're in our 50s, they redo the DC thing.
But I'll tell you this. There's a paradox. Within the Civil War movie with Marvel, I'm an Iron Man guy.
Yep.
Like Iron Man, the first one, which started the MC Marvel Universe.
2007, 2008.
Yeah. That is still to this day my favorite superhero movie.
That's one of the best. The Godfather.
Yeah, it really is. But did you know in Civil War that there is a ideologue running through the scheme between if you sided with Iron Man or if you sided with Captain America. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gave plot to your ideology when it came to everything that happened this past year in the year 2020, which I will not get involved in, but like there's a paradox there.
Yeah.
That if you chose one side, this was the crowd that you belonged to, and if you chose the other, that was the side that you belonged to.
And during that movie, I looked at it as like, well, you know, both of them make sense, kind of. But I don't know who to pick. I was worried that one, they was going to follow the comic book and kill Captain America off. Well, I'm glad they didn't. But in the comic book, he dies in Civil War. So I was looking for it too, but I'm glad it didn't. And it would have never worked out, you know, because he had to be there. Probably. Yeah.
All right, but so we got to get back to Mandalorian,
right? What do you hate so much about it? I mean, guess. You didn't end the story or a punt. It's got a story. And I think it's cool enough to where, even if it's a simple task, the journey there is what's important. It's not the what you're going to. It's what you see while you're on the way. And it's the, and you got to bring the factor in that it's Star Wars. So you got spaceships, you got space travel, hyperdrive, laser beams. But then you got a new character that is alive when Luke and them are alive.
I'm overcritical of what I give my time to.
Well, and it's a good thing to be that way.
No, it's not.
Well, because you don't waste your time.
That's my point. Yeah, is I watched three episodes of The Mandalorian, and you may say, and invite me over to your home, and I'll watch some more with you. Like, I will watch that with you, and I will enjoy it with you. Yes. Because the visual effects and the nostalgia and everything that goes on the picture is good. But when I go home and I think about it before I go to bed, is there's nothing worth thinking about. Mm. Does that make sense?
I guess.
There wasn't a story. There wasn't a lesson. There was nothing to be. There's nothing to get. It was purely entertainment.
Yes. So you're being over gluttonous of what you want. Maybe you're satisfied and searching for more, which is why you should keep watching it. Because it'll feed you.
It just feeds entertainment.
Yeah. Well, what's your point in going into it? Well, you going to be...
Going into it? I watched the first episode with you.
No, I'm saying, like, are you wanting to be entertained?
I don't watch TV. You know that.
I'm saying, like, going into it, you saying...
I watched one episode with you, and I was curious to see more, so I asked a buddy if I could borrow a Disney Plus account, and I watched a couple more episodes, and I was... This is not worth my time.
But you watched three episodes, right?
Yeah.
There's two seasons, right? How many shows can you can't, name five shows that wasn't slow in the first season and a half? Or at least the first half of the first season. Name five shows that wasn't like that.
The
Office was slow. It was slow. I was so bored during that in the first couple of episodes, but I knew it was a good show and I kept going.
I was immediately entertained. But that's my comedy.
Though. Some of it was. Some of it was entertaining. But it wasn't like I'm going to sit here and watch it till every second. You know, it's kind of like you could tell when something was about to be funny, and it was when Michael Scott was coming. Yeah. That's when I watched it. That's when he come in the screen. That's the reason seven, eight, nine, whichever one it was. I think it was 8 and 9 when he wasn't in it. I hated it. I mean, it was fun.
Robert California was good.
I did like James Spader. He is a great actor, and he is great in The Blacklist too. I have been watching. I have wasted a lot of hours.
That's the thing about it. It's like I've never really watched a lot of shows. So you like name five shows. I
would never have watched this.
Okay, Trailer Park Boys.
If I wouldn't have Rick been in this Morty, situation, I wouldn't watch this much.
Letterkenny. These are shows that I've watched in entirety, and this is like
Dragon Ball. That counts. It's entertainment. You was addicted. All of us was.
Yes. That. So five right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, The Office, Letterkenny, Trailer Park Boys, Rick and Morty. Nah,
dude, Trailer Park Boys was very low production first company. And then, see, now that
but might it be, was dope, and it was better at the beginning.
It got progressively worse. The story and the plots was, yes, and the content of the script and stuff like that. But production stuff sometimes can be to where it's an eyesore to some people, and it can.
But you were asking my opinion.
Yeah, I know.
And I gave you.
Well, that's. But the point I'm proving is right here is there's no way that you can have something made that's going to fit you perfectly. You have to explore it to learn what it is truly to.
But I was just answering your original question. Is like, why didn't you like it? And I told you it was boring, and it does not have a story.
But you also said it was entertaining.
It is entertaining.
How is that boring?
It boring in the fact of it like not going anywhere.
I see. So, if it's boring, that means you could predict it, right?
Yes.
So, tell me what happens.
What do you mean, what happens?
Tell me what happens. If you know the story, you know the plot, tell me what happens.
Well, okay, let's start in episode 4. He's going to get a bounty. He's got to protect the baby. He's going to get the bounty. He's going to have trouble protecting the baby, but in the end, the baby's going to be protected, and he'll get the bounty.
You know what? I don't know exactly, because I don't know the name of the episode, but you're probably right. But not all of them are
That's
like
what them. I'm saying.
But let me tell you
something. That's what I'm saying.
What I'm trying not to spoil it for you, but I'm telling you, not all of them are like that.
Okay.
That ends. So you can't rely on, and Jessica does it all the time. Well, not all the time, but she'll watch something a couple times and be like, I don't know if I like it. But I'll tell her, you know, hey, just keep watching it. You'll like it. And she ends up loving it. You just got. I'm just saying, I know that a lot of people have a lot of time, not a lot of time on their schedules anyway. So they can't invest into stuff like I have here recently because I've had nothing to do.
Now, I'm not giving an excuse to anything.
But
Let me tell you this.
What I'm saying is, though, my perspective of it is probably altered from a normal person because I've had nothing to do but geek out on Star Wars.
No, I don't think it's like, I think I'm abnormal here. Like, because everybody raves and, I mean, everybody shares memes from that show and everybody talks about that show and everybody has little trinkets from that show.
Everybody loves Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Grogu.
Grogu. That's right. So, but like, tell you this is, I was a huge fan of The Witcher. You know, I played all the games, and I've really enjoyed it. Now, with the TV show.
I haven't watched that yet.
I watched that twice.
Is that good? If you watched it twice, it has to be.
It's not good.
What? You're so hypocritical.
No.
Make up your mind. Do you want to watch it or not?
No. I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
And I thought that they'd done a good job with story.
Uh-huh.
And I watched it a second time, and I hated the CGI. I hated the effects. It didn't have a story, and everything felt exactly the same. And then I was like, I don't care about season 2, because the writing was trash.
Why would you think it was good one time and bad the next?
Because the first time I approached it as a fan,
okay.
And then when I went in
you
the second time...
You were excited about it.
Yes.
The first time.
And then when I went back in to be critical, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with music. That's why I rate and rave about like some musicians and then some I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm. You know, one thing I just thought about with The Mandalorian 2 that I think I like so much about it is me and you both played...
every Star Wars game probably ever, you know?
Jedi Fallen Order is the one in particular. Which is the best one I've played.
Knights of the Old Republic was the best.
I wanted to play the Force
It was like original Xbox, maybe like PS2. That game was the best Star Wars game ever made. They made it again. It didn't hold up.
Yeah. I want to play the Force Unleashed 1 and 2 because it tells a different storyline.
They're not good, though. They're not even fun to play.
They're fun to watch, because I watched the cutscenes of a lot of
them.
Dude,
I got a copy of that game.
The story.
I brought it home, I turned it on, and I played it for 5 minutes, and I put it back in the box, and I took it right back.
Boy, I tell you.
But I'm telling you, but like, I'm critical on what I'll give my time to, man.
Boy, I tell you. I don't know. The reason I was so interested in it is because I'm a fan of it, and it's intertwining.
You get too
stories.
Powerful too quick. That is the problem with that game, with Force Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how like?
Well, he's already a bad guy. Starkiller is like one of the strongest ones.
But check this out.
He beats Darth Vader.
What makes like my appeal to Dark Souls, why I love that game so much, is like you have to work for everything. You're immediately good in Force Unleashed.
It's a challenge. I understand that.
And even turning the difficulty up is not, it doesn't do much.
Yeah. Well, talking the Jedi game, you know how you level up that way too. And I don't think it would be as easy. It ain't. Is it as easy to level up on that one as it is Force Unleashed? You don't think so?
No. The Force Unleashed, it moves like it's not like open world. It's kind of like levels.
Okay, so it's
chapters.
Linear.
Yeah, it's a very linear story.
Mm-hmm.
And things unlock. But if you're any good with the sticks, everything that you have is already too much. Mm-hmm. And when you get a new force and you learn how to use that, it's like you break the game almost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the second one, they may have corrected that. That was just a problem that I had. There's been a lot of games like that where there was a really good idea. There was this old game. It was called... me and Sid played it all the time. I don't really remember the name of it, but like you had I want to say it was called like Whiplash. It was like this really cheesy PvP game.
Mm-hmm.
It had a campaign, but the story sucked. But the multiplayer was like really good.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was so cheesy, and you had, I think it was called Whiplash or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we played that game for hours. We played it like we put Halo down to play that. And I remember us having a lot of fun with that. And it kind of goes back to this kind of same idea. It was just so easy to be good at multiplayer that it almost felt like he was cheating.
Yeah. I wonder, hang on, I'm going to look something up real quick. I was wondering what the rating of Force Unleashed was.
It should be M. It might be T.
It's T. Because I know that some games that you would think they could target older generation gamers, they naturally rate them worse because the game's either harder or more gorish or...
Yeah,
something like that, and then you would think the childish, the lower rating, would be easier because you got kids playing. You know,
that's why I like, you know, with everything you've been sending me on Snapchat today, making me jealous as all get out.
Yes,
is like the archive of nostalgia. Is on the Super Nintendo. I've
got three of them. Do you want one?
No, I've got one. It's up at my brother's, but I remember playing, like, you know, Super Mario and Donkey Kong and 2, 3, and then getting an N64 and then finding The Legend of Zelda.
I got two.
And that game literally changed my life because that was a game, I started playing it when I was, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old. I don't exactly remember the timeline. Mm-hmm. Might have been younger or a little bit older. I don't know. But I could only get so far because I wasn't smart enough to comprehend what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And then I would have to put it down and come back. And that was something that I found about it. And that was what I was telling you about. I eventually beat The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time,
mm-hmm.
but I never beat Majora's Mask. That was
I got that one.
And I was older because that game came out later. But I got to like the third temple and I wasn't... my mind couldn't comprehend how to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one Saturday, man, like, we need to bring the Super Nintendo. I want to see if I can beat it in a day. I want to do like a dry run on it.
Okay. I got the Mask of Majora.
Yeah.
I got that one, and the other one is the...
Legend of Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
I saw both mm-hmm. copies. Both of those games are probably the two of... I mean, with the exception of like GoldenEye with friends, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever played Turok?
That was so dope on there. And, you know, they tried to remake it on the Xbox, and it just wasn't the same.
It wasn't good, no. And see, my uncle had the N64 when I was younger, a little kid, and I played with him. I went over there to my grandma's house, and he would be there, and I would play. He's one of the reasons I like gaming so much, him and my dad both.
Yeah.
But he had Turok, and when he first got it, he immediately got the cheat code for it. And I still remember it to this day. It's Beware Oblivion is at Hand. You tap that in, and you can die. But man, you got every weapon, and I don't know. It's fun. I'm the kind of guy where I want to have fun. I want it to be a challenge, but I don't want it to be like Dark freaking Souls. I want to be able to actually accomplish something. And not saying it can't be done. I'm saying I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, I've seen you do it. I know it can be done. I've watched other people do it. But y'all have a different gene in you that pushes you for stuff like that. And my gene is lazy. And my genes got holes in them and they're faded.
Man, dart souls is not hard.
For you, yes. For me.
Man, I could.
I couldn't do it. I can't, like.
No.
I could accomplish it.
No.
But mentally, I cannot do
it. No, I'm saying, like, you come over here with your Xbox, you get Dark Souls 3, you and I will walk you through it. We'll beat it in 6 hours.
Okay. I'm off for a month, so.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, pick a Saturday.
Look.
I'll go buy it because I don't have it.
It's all about.
Do you have it for. Do you have it?
Yeah, I've got it on that. Yeah, it's on my account. I'll just pull my account up. Hey, I bought it on that.
Yeah,
totally. But I'm telling you, it's the approach.
Mm-hmm.
You like with Dart, you had to think about every move you make. It's like playing solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
Only you have to turn it to where, you know how you can turn like. The cards you get to go through.
Yep.
You can turn that off to where you only get one go.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so every move has to be calculated. And what, like, when you step into a game like that, is like you have to, when you turn it on, you have to be in the right state of mind to play it. And you have to think about every move you make.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to go back and train up a little bit, or if you need to go harvest, or. If you need to explore, you should. It's a game you should take your time. But I've beat 1, 2, and 3 so many times. Like, I could beat it in 4 hours.
I don't see.
I don't even need to level. Like, I could be a level 1 and defeat the hardest boss.
You know, you should know more than anybody from playing Borderlands with me, 1 and 2, that I run into the room.
Dude, that used to be my jam, wasn't it?
I run into the room. Just to shoot. I don't care how many bullets or missiles is going by my head.
I just go
in there and I'm like, hey, here I am. Here's Johnny.
That's right. That's exactly right. Andrew, he was the
berserker.
The definition of a berserker when it came to Borderlands or any kind of game like that. Like, I like playing shooters with him because I can sit back and like do all the cynical and thought out plots that I have in my mind for the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Andrew exposing everybody.
Yep.
And even if we fail.
Called me the bird dog.
Yeah. That was exactly what it was. So like beating games like Borderlands and like Call of Duty and any game where Andrew could put him, he doesn't like a, it has to be first person. He can't do a third person.
No, and like Halo, all them games, every one of them.
But like, I could always count on Andrew to be like bait, and I would switch.
That's the reason my gamer score and my kill score, kill to death ratio is always horrible.
But mine was prime.
Good. You and Turd Ferguson used to run.
Do you remember like back when like buying gamer tags was a thing? Do you remember that?
Uh-uh.
Like there were these people. And I had, my gamer score is like dope.
Mm-hmm.
But it was back 2010, back when, like having a good gamer score was like a really big deal and you wanted to have really good stats. I had a guy offer me $300 for my gamer tag.
Wow. You said, why didn't you sell it? It's $300.
Because I was fucking balling on it at the time.
Make another one. Do it again. Sell it again.
I was like, no, you ain't getting business. I ain't done balling on this one.
No, I understand.
I thought I was going to be a gamer, though. We all did, didn't we?
Yeah. I told you all that, though, about the gaming and the Jedi thing. You know how you level up, and it's fun to, for me, to go through a game and being able to upgrade stuff and do different things to what you have on you as far as a weapon or protection or whatever.
You're describing Dark Souls.
In the Mandalorian show. Well, see, then maybe you can relate to this. In the Mandalorian show at the beginning, his armor's crap.
Yeah, and he gets a new pauldron and new...
He gets more Berserker or Berserite or something.
Yeah, he gets better equipment in each episode.
Metal. And he builds to it and adds to it and ends up being this you ain't gonna mess with him kind of guy. And that just is, that's cool to me. And then the end's amazing. I'm not telling you, you're gonna watch it. But the end, the ending, because it's the ending, but it's not, because it's just another chapter. Like, there's no way the second season can be like the first season. But you still got the same characters. And that, to me, and then the fact that there's so many Star Wars side things that tie into the main storyline, but even before 7, 8, 9, because Mandalorian's before them. That timeline's before 7, 8, 9. Luke is still, Luke and them have defeated Darth, but he's still young. He's not old. And then, but you got there, and then even the Jedi game, that's in between 3 and 4. And to me, to tie it in, to know that, okay, I knew what was going on in this part of the war. But now, this over here had to happen just so this would happen before all this happened.
It needed to be written better.
It probably could have, but there's so much to it that there's so much to it and so much content as far as characters.
Because, like, I believe the
falling in love with people that you can, it's easy for people, it's easy to sell. People fall in love with it quick. Because you're adding new characters, but they know the characters they love are there somewhere too. So it's like it's like putting gravy on potatoes.
No, I get that. Like, yeah. all that special is like, I just want it to be done better.
Well, maybe.
Star Wars, like, even Lord of the Rings, they could do a spinoff of Lord of the Rings. Like, I was so disappointed with Jackson when he done The Hobbit. He did The Hobbit poorly. I know he wanted to make it a trilogy just like Lord of the Rings and all this and that, but The Hobbit was a children's film, and, like, there's a cartoon version that I have in my DVD collection mm-hmm. that is the best Hobbit. I mean, it's literally the book and
the cartoon. I'm glad I haven't read them books. I've just watched the movies, because I love them.
Like, there were so many issues and problems with the film, and everything that he wanted to do, he could have done it just in a different way, but I understand that he was trying to draw, like, I think that's the part of, like, film and everything now, is, like, trying to draw different audiences to be able to enjoy it. Like, mm-hmm. there was a dwarf-elf love scene that would not happen. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing.
Yeah, and I understand that. But
yeah, and, like, the Legolas being there, that's totally possible, but you didn't need that.
That was just a character draw.
Yeah.
Audience.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Him. And so, like,
that's your moneymaker.
You could do an offshoot of Lord of the Rings, and, like, they threatened it. They threatened it a lot. Mm-hmm. Is you could do, because they were in the third age with Lord of the Rings. Hobbit is, like, first or second age. I can't mm-hmm. remember right now. But, like, you could totally do a whole TV show on the second age.
Could you?
That'd be pretty cool. Tolkien dedicated his entire life to Middle Earth. He developed the languages. He developed the entire world. He developed all the species. He developed even the historiography of how everything happened. It's totally possible. Like,
I would be afraid for them to do it. You know why?
They screwed up.
Yeah. Exactly. You would like it. It'd be another thing you didn't like.
But, like, if you would take your time and just do it right.
That's hard to do, though, man, because you're talking about a book.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about a book. I'm talking about books. I'm talking about, like, dude, there's, like, over 20 books just about Middle Earth.
See, that's a lot to be putting in. You already don't like long movies.
I'm not saying make a movie. I'm saying make a TV series, and it could have like 10. And you could totally take your time. That's what I'm telling you.
I think that's why TV shows kind of have trumped movies now, because
movie theaters are out of damn business right now.
Well, that too, but still, you got to look at Netflix. Netflix is, there's so many shows compared to movies.
I would love to see, like, how many drops left Netflix to go to Peacock after The Office left?
I don't know. Probably a lot.
Or maybe they just got both.
You know, I had never watched it till this past year, and I had to hurry up and finish it before December 31st, or I wasn't going to get to. I ended up.
I'm glad you finally watched it. It's good.
Yeah, it is. Good. It's really good. It made me appreciate James Spader in 7 and 8. Eight and nine. And that's one thing that I think Netflix spied on me and saw that, and then Blacklist was next up that popped up as a recommendation.
They do. And your social media, your cell phone, everything does. It listens and it spies on you.
And now I'm
like when
I'm
you
well off into the.
Let's just say now. That I was playing solitaire on my phone right now. Right, it's like my little camera's gonna be looking at me, and when the ads pop up, they're looking to see if I like it or not, and then I can see like how the ads pander. You know, even on Facebook, it's like you know what lately is. Before I bought this music equipment, no, I didn't use Amazon. You know what would pop up on my social media?
What?
Music equipment. Like all this, like the new mic and everything that I've ordered. I've showed you all the different stuff I've ordered.
Yeah.
Well, that would all pop up on my Facebook. Right? We know they're listening.
Yeah.
It's listening.
Sometimes I'll see something.
And now it's like, I said, like, you know, the suitcase drum I'm going to get?
Yeah.
Dude, on Facebook Marketplace, that's all I see is like, these are the suitcase drums in your area. And I was like, I already know my buyer. I already know where I'm going to go. I'm picking it up soon. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Sometimes I'll see
something. I don't need you.
Sometimes I'll see something and then I'll forget what it was and can't find it again. So I'll be like talking about it. So maybe my phone will bring it back up again.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a good idea.
It has. I haven't proved that theory that it worked, but
yeah, and that's like one day. I'm gonna say this in close. We need to get out of here.
I'd like to fall asleep in a dream of your mind. Drift down your canyons, they're so vast and wild. Neural synapse snapped in your back, flesh, blood, and wine. I feel like I have been around here before. Deja vu, waking up on the bathroom floor. I've seen hell, I've seen God, and I'm just fine. With leaving the both of them behind, fall asleep in your mind for the rest of eternity. Fall asleep in your mind. I'd like to stay there permanently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.